بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا صدق الله العظيم. We continue with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our discussion on the various sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these shining stars, and from the galaxy of Sahaba, the huge and very vast galaxy, each one a shining brilliant star, which are a great source of inspiration for each one of us. Tonight, inshallah, we will discuss a Sahabi who is famous even amongst the young of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a sahabi who we are reminded of every single day of our life. And that is none other than Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Whenever the call of adhan is given 5 times a day, then a person is automatically taken back to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's reminded of the very origin of adhan. And he's reminded of the muadhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. He was extremely fortunate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him also specific glad tidings of Jannah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one occasion mentions to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, "Bilal, what's the matter? How is it that I can hear your footsteps in front of me in paradise? Inni sami'tu khashfana alayk bayna yaday fil jannah. What is it that you are doing that I can actually hear, or I have heard your footsteps in front of me in Jannah? Either in the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or on some occasion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when Allah ta'ala had taken him to Mi'raj, most of the historians have mentioned, in the dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown that he entered Jannah, and amongst the various things he had seen in Jannah was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala walking in front of him. Like how a khadim would walk in front of a sheikh or an alim, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala walked in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah we will discuss this. But today inshallah, Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, we are saying Sayyiduna Bilal. Specifically, why? Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was of African origin. He was an Abyssinian slave. And somehow his parents had come to Makkah. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala grew up in Makkah. And he was born a slave because his mother was a slave. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he remained a slave. His master was Umayyah bin Khalaf, who was the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Islam spread in Makkah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was responsible for giving the da'wah to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. And this was in the blood of the Sahaba. They understood the real object and mission in this life, in this world. The moment a Sahabi accepted Islam, especially in the beginning of Islam, in the period of Makkah, you would see the very first thing, when this iman would penetrate into the deep recesses of his heart, then immediately he would be now concerned and bothered about his fellow human being, fellow brother, as to how he could also be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and how he could enter Jannah, and that is by embracing Islam. And therefore they would go and invite others towards Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, the moment he accepts Islam, he goes to various Sahaba. He goes to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. And he was already a friend of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. They had gone on some trade journey to Sham, to Syria. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, although a very low profile person, very humble, very modest. Scholars have written about Bilal radiallahu ta'ala's modesty. They explain that he was, as we see, self-effacement par excellence. Absolutely humble, modest. There was no airs about him. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once somebody comes to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a Jew. And he tells Rasulullah, he asks Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, tell me about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something about him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala directs him to go to Bilal. But when this Jew comes to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he says, no. What can I explain to you? You rather go to his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she will explain to you. Absolutely modest. So Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he is the slave of Umayyah bin Khalaf. And as Islam grew, now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala gives da'wah to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, when he hears about Allah, one Allah, worshipping one Allah, and following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the final messenger of Allah, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala becomes interested, he embraces Islam. He was amongst the very first few people. According to some ulama and scholars, they have written that amongst the first 7 people to embrace Islam was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. And he was the first of all the slaves to accept Islam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala embraces Islam. Umayyah bin Khalaf is now notified, made aware of the fact that Bilal, your slave, has embraced Islam. Umayyah bin Khalaf becomes furious. But somehow he decides to change his strategy, and instead of punishing him, he tries to be a bit more pleasant towards him initially and says, Bilal, what have you done? Why don't you renounce this deen? But when he sees that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is not taking heed of his advice, and he's a mountain of steadfastness, then he begins to beat him up. And if you pick up the books of history and you see the manner in which Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and other weak sahaba, in Arabic they are known as al-mustad'afin, from the word da'if, absolutely poor, weak, downtrodden. They did not have any strength. They did not have any family members to protect them. Other sahaba belonged to various tribes in Makkah. Somehow their tribe, their family members would protect them when they embrace Islam. But people like Bilal radiallahu ta'ala were absolutely alone. They had nobody to protect them. Umayyah bin Khalaf takes out his whip and he begins to lash out at Bilal. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala is steadfast, unyielding. So Umayyah bin Khalaf places a huge rock on his chest. He's left out in the heat of Makkah, rocky ground, burning his body. And then he is chained. And then he's beaten up. Umayyah bin Khalaf begins. When he becomes tired, he passes on the whip to another leader. In this manner, they continue until each one gives up. He's tired. But what do they hear from Bilal? Ahad, the one Allah. Ahad, the one Allah. I believe in the one Allah. I believe in the one Allah. The struggle, the pain, the suffering Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, the persecution, the torture he undergoes, but he does not give up. So they take the urchins of Makkah and they lasso him and they begin to drag him around the streets of Makkah, thinking that now perhaps Bilal will give up. What do they hear in the gullies of Makkah? Ahad, the one Allah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu goes by. He sees Bilal in this condition, takes pity. And then he purchases Bilal radiallahu anhu from Umayyah bin Khalaf. And Umayyah bin Khalaf, in the Battle of Badr, it's a very long history, but we are presently discussing it on the Thursday lesson in the madrasa for the ladies. So we are doing Battle of Badr at the moment. But Umayyah bin Khalaf, he was once in Makkah and he was a friend of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, or another Sahabi, Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. And Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala would come to Makkah, he would stay in Umayyah's house, and Umayyah, when he would go to Medina or en route to Sham, he would stop at Medina and he would stay at Sa'ad's house radiallahu ta'ala. So once when Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala comes to Makkah, he asks Umayyah, let me go and make some tawaf of the Kaaba. Umayyah allows him, goes with him, gives him some amnesty, and suddenly they see Abu Jahl there. Abu Jahl says, what is this? Umayyah, you are giving him, our enemy, a chance, an opportunity to make tawaf of the Kaaba. And then Abu Jahl addresses Sa'ad, O Sa'ad, had it not been because of Umayyah giving you amnesty, I would have never allowed you. So Sa'ad then retaliates, responds, he says, Abu Jahl, how dare you stop me from making tawaf of the Kaaba? If you do so, I will stop you from going to Syria. And we will stop your caravans as they're going past Medina. Umayyah bin Khalaf interjects, he says, Sa'ad, what is the matter with you? You talk like this to our leader? Sa'ad and Umayyah were friends. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu tells Umayyah, Umayyah, behold, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that your death will be on the hands of one of his companions. Umayyah hears this. He says, where will my death take place? Where will I be killed? In Makkah or out of Makkah? He says, that I do not know. All I know that Rasulullah mentioned this. Umayyah bin Khalaf goes back home. He is gripped with fever. He is shaking. They had yaqeen in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew this man does not speak lies. So his wife made sure that he did not come out of Makkah. But now Abu Jahl and party, Uqba bin Abi Mu'ayt, they force him now to go and participate in the Battle of Badr. Umayyah is reluctant, he is scared. What if I am going to be killed? So according to some narrations, both of them, they take surma, very expensive surma, and they go and present it to Umayyah. Umayyah, put this. You're a woman, so you can use this. So when he hears that they are now taunting me, although he's reluctant, he goes, and he even meets his fate, and he is killed. Nonetheless, Umayyah bin Khalaf is the master of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and Bilal is freed. Therefore, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say in Arabic, "A'taqa Sayyiduna Sayyidana." Those who understand Arabic will appreciate this. "A'taqa" means to free. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, "A'taqa Sayyiduna Abu Bakrin Sayyidana Bilal radiallahu ta'ala." Our master Abu Bakr freed our master Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. The word, the title he gives to both Abu Bakr and Bilal is Sayyid. Abu Bakr, our master, freed our master Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Therefore we see Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala accepts Islam, and of course he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands Sahaba to make hijrat. He's amongst the very first few people to make hijrat. He makes hijrat to Medina before Umar radiallahu ta'ala could come. And when they make hijrat to Medina, we know then after some time, there is a need for Rasulullah to call the Sahaba to the masjid for salat. And then he calls them, the mashwara is made, how should we announce the time for salat? Somebody said we blow the trumpet or the bugle. Somebody said we ring the bell. Somebody said we burn a fire. Rasulullah listened to all his opinions, but these were ways and means of the other religions and creeds who would invite their people to their different places of worship in that manner. So Rasulullah was not happy still. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in went home that night. Now this is when the ulama write, when you have some concern, some fikr for deen, you go back home and that worry is still in your heart, still in your mind. And when you have that type of concern for the ummah or for some important matter of deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a solution. Sahaba went back home. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also great fikr and concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the dream to Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi. In the dream, he sees the entire azan, somebody coming him, showing him the whole azan. It's a detailed incident. At further, he runs towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, I saw something. This is what I had seen. Nabiya Kareem some understands from the dream. He's seen Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, the entire azan. So immediately he calls for Bilal. Bilal, you go up and you listen to the words of Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi. And as he is mentioning these words, you call out the same words. Now that is how Bilal. Why Bilal? Because Bilal, according to the kitabs, had a sawtan jameelan, a melodious voice, a very loud voice. And his voice would reach out very, very far. Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi did not have that type of voice like Bilal. فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى لِلصَّوْتِ Bilal's voice is very loud. And that was the maqsad of adhan, so people could be attracted and come to the masjid. As Bilal is calling out the adhan, Umar radiallahu ta'ala hears these words. He had seen the exact dream that Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi had seen. It is mentioned that Umar radiallahu ta'ala runs. He's got his lower garment, his lungi tied, he's got his upper garment, he's just pulling it across his shoulder. He's so excited, he goes to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, these are the exact words that I have been shown in my dream. But Abdullah bin Zaid bin Abdi Rabbi had just beaten Umar radiallahu ta'ala. This is how Adhan came, and Bilal radiallahu became the Muaddin of Rasulullah. And there were other Muaddins also, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Mahdura radiallahu ta'ala. These were chosen Sahaba of Rasulullah s.a.w. to give call of the Adhan, but Bilal was the most famous. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was the most famous of all the Sahaba to call out the Adhan. Every Sahabi knew Bilal radiallahu ta'ala's Adhan. Their ears were accustomed to his voice and to his beautiful words that he would call out. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed on, we know the condition of the Sahaba we had mentioned previously. But just to mention this point, that when he came for the next salah time, and now Bilal had to call out the adhan, he could not stand up. Sahaba are looking at him, Bilal, salah, salah, adhan. Bilal radiallahu anhu says, sorry, I can no longer call out the adhan. Appoint somebody else. I don't have that himmat, I don't have the courage. Somehow Sahaba force him. He goes up to the minarat, he begins the adhan. When he comes to Ashhadu Anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, he is unable to call out the adhan. He sits down. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, now Sayyidina Abu Bakr becomes the Amir, he becomes the Khalifa, he is chosen by the Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala tells Bilal, but you are still, you remain the Muaddin of the Masjid. He says, sorry Abu Bakr, I'm now leaving for Damascus. I can no longer stay here in Medina. For Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, there was no other person besides Rasulullah s.a.w. in his life. Of course, he had Sahaba friends, he loved them. But for him, was only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Day and night, 5 times a day, every day of his life, calling out the adhan, and then he would go, and before salat, Ya Rasulullah, as-salatu jami'ah. Ya Rasulullah, time is up for salah. And then Nabiya Kareem would come, and Bilal would call out the iqama, and Nabiya Kareem would lead the salat. Now he could not. There was no point in him staying in Medina any longer. So he believed he'd rather go to Damascus, far away. And it is mentioned, Various narrations have been mentioned. Once when Umar radiallahu goes to Sham, he tells Bilal, please let me hear the Adhan, and Bilal tries, he's unable to call out the Adhan. But there is an incident mentioned in many kitabs that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala for some period of his life lives in Damascus. He does not visit Medina until he sees a dream one night. He sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam appearing in his dream. Ya Bilal, ma hadhihi al-jaffa? What is this alienation all about? Why have you kept so far away from me? Why aren't you visiting me? Bilal wakes up with a shock. Immediately he hastens, he takes a journey to Madina Munawwara. He comes quietly, Sahaba do not see him. It is at night. At further time, he is spotted by Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhumah, the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They run to him. Bilal hugs them, embraces them. These are the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They plead to Bilal, oh Bilal, please, today you call out the Adhan. How could he decline the offer or the request of the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he goes, and the same thing happens as he begins the Adhan. The woman, the men, the children, when they hear the Adhan, they are reminded of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all leave the home, they come running to the masjid. Bilal is calling out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sahaba are crying. Sahaba actually crying. It is mentioned in the kitab that after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba never cried like how they cried on that occasion. Bilal radiallahu anhu himself, when he comes to Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, collapses. He's unable to continue. This is the love, the bond he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala also grant us the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear the Adhan, what respect do we have for the Adhan? That's a whole topic on its own. Inshallah, I have sincere intention to speak about the Adhan and the Muazzins. These people, we overlook these people. Sometimes we ignore these people. Comes in a hadith, just one hadith, and I promise inshallah some other occasion we'll speak about the virtues of the muadzins. It is mentioned as just one hadith that the muadzins will have the longest necks on the day of qiyamah, meaning they will be outstanding. They will be honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be given a special honor. They will be shown special respect on the day of Qiyamah. These were my muadzins. Any given time, or any part of the world, our country, our city, if it is Fajr Adhan especially, most of us are all tired and snoozing, just getting out of from the bed, and we can hear on the receiver, try and see every masjid, you'll hear each muadzin calling out the Adhan. This is every single day of their life. They do it happily. Therefore, Allah will give them that dignity on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah also make us from amongst the muadzineen. This is no low task. This is a privilege. Person who's a muadzin, he is selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala had fought very bravely in the wars with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's an incident when Rasulullah ﷺ once, he has nothing to eat, nothing to eat, nothing to eat. And then Rasulullah ﷺ expresses his condition, he makes mention of his condition, and he says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ ثَلَاثُونَ مِنْ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَ. He says, 30 consecutive days have gone by, one entire month. وَمَالِي وَلِبِلَالِ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِذُ كَبِدٍ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِي إِبْتُ بِلَالٍ مَالِي وَلِبِلَالٍ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِي إِبْتُ بِلَالٍ. He says, I had nothing to eat, nothing, except that amount of food or dates, so little, the quantity is so little, so few, that if Bilal had to just put it under his armpit, it would be concealed. In other words, we had hardly any food to eat for the entire month. Rasulullah is with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. The bond they had, Sahaba would envy this bond. A Sahabi says, I could see Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and how Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit with Bilal. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would talk to Bilal and bring him very close to himself. Once Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, a very great Sahabi, we had mentioned also his biography. Extreme, he's known as the Zahid of this Ummah. Ascetic, got no ta'luk with the dunya whatsoever. But in the beginning, there was an occasion when once he criticized Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. It is mentioned he's traveling on a camel. And Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, we're talking about later years now, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala is sitting on the camel with a slave of his. And the same type of garment that Abu Dharr is wearing, the slave is wearing the same type of garments. Well, somebody remarked, who is this? This is my slave. Your slave? You and him wearing the same type of clothing? He said, yes. And then he explains, he says, why I'm doing so? Because I heard Rasulullah saying, or mentioning to me, advising me, that, oh Abu Dharr, these are your brothers. And they are under your custody, your protection, your care. And therefore, what you eat, you should feed them. What you wear, you should give them to wear. Why did Rasulullah tell him this? Because Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, on some dispute, some matter, عَيَّرَهُ بِأُمِّهِ, he criticized Bilal regarding his mother. And he said, يَبْنَ السَّوْدَىٰ, O son of a black woman. Rasulullah hears this. Abu Dharr, what are you saying? إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةِ, you're a person who still has some jahiliyyah traits in you. Islam does not teach us to show such prejudice. Islam teaches equality, and therefore there is the only madhab, the only deen, the only religion in the entire world that in our place of worship, in our masjid, a black man next to a white man, whatever the color is. There's no segregation whatsoever. This is Islam. And this is what draws people towards Islam, the equality. There is no racial prejudice. And Rasulullah and Sahaba showed us this. Bilal radiallahu anhu was also amongst those Sahaba who I mentioned last week, when the mushrikeen came and they said, chase these people away, these downtrodden poor people. We cannot sit and associate with them and be in the same gathering. He was also amongst them with Salman Farsi and Ammar radiallahu ta'ala. A person goes to propose, also an Abyssinian person, he goes and proposes for a girl, goes to a family. So, they say, no, listen, yeah, we'll only accept the proposal if you bring Bilal. Bilal comes. And Bilal must bear testimony and give us some indication of what kind of a person you are. Bilal radiallahu anhu goes, and he says, Ana Bilalun wa hadha akhi. This is, I am Bilal. This is my brother. Abdani min al-Habsha. We are both slaves from Abyssinia. Some ulama say that this person was not his real brother, but Muslim brother and from same place, Abyssinia. Kunna dhalaini fahadana Allah. We were astray, deviated. Allah gave us Islam. Allah guided us. Wa kunna abdain fa'ataqana Allah. We were slaves. Allah freed us. إِن تُنْكِحُونَ فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, if you get us married to your daughters, we praise Allah. وَإِن تَمْنَعُونَ, if you stop us, perhaps you're not happy. Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. In other words, Allah's khazana, Allah's treasure. There's plenty others we can go for, and Allah will provide something. So they get Bilal and his Abyssinian brother married in that family. Or according to some narrations where he only went to propose for that person, and that person's proposal was accepted. Because there is another narration where some people come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our sister or our daughter, get her married to that particular sahabi of yours. He says, what about Bilal? So perhaps they were not very happy at that time. They go back. After some time they come again. Same thing. Ya Rasulullah, you want this sahabi, you want him to get married to our sister. Nabi Kareem says, what about Bilal? So they go away. A third time they come. And Nabi Kareem Salam says, what about Bilal? هو من الجنة من أهل الجنة. He's from the inmates of paradise. He said, يا رسول الله, get our sister married to Bilal. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, there are so many things that you can mention about his akhlaq, his character. But we would mention when he is given this basharat that I mentioned in the beginning, Rasulullah said that, what is it? How is it that I can hear your footsteps before me in Jannah? What is it? So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala mentioned to Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, during the day or night, whenever I go out and relieve myself, then I make wudu. And after making wudu, I come and perform 2 rakat salat, nafil. Whenever I make wudu, I perform 2 rakat salat. On that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him Jannah. And what a position that Rasulullah said, I can hear your footsteps before me in Jannah. There was a plague. In Arabic, it's called Ta'un. And many, many Sahaba were killed in that plague. Bilal radiallahu anhu also was afflicted during that time in the plague. And now as he is passing away, his wife is trying to console him and she's sitting next to him and she is trying to, she is lamenting, she's sobbing. He says, no, there's no need for this. I am happy. Why? غَدًا tomorrow, نَلْقَى مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبَهُ. Tomorrow I'm going to meet my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his Sahaba who have already passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to emulate these Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. There's so many more things that we could discuss. But whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wished we should discuss, may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Love the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. I swear by Allah, you will feel as though they are part of your, part and parcel of your own family. When you will hear the names in other incidents, will you hear ahadith narrated by them? You will appreciate those words of wisdom, you will appreciate the ahadith and even the sayings of these Sahaba much more when you realize now after mentioning Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, the love for Bilal increases in our heart. And who knows, because of this love, and Allah gives us tawfiq to emulate one or two things that we learn from the biographies of these Sahaba, it could be a means of our najat in the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy and accept. We are now in the conclusion of our tafsir of Surah Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, now we are doing verse number 83. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا فَلَا تَعْجِلْ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ, have you not seen, أَنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ, that we have let the shayateen loose, عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, upon the disbelievers. Why? تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. What do these shayateen do? They incite them into making more and more sin. They incite these shayateen, incite the disbelievers to persist in sin. This is the Arabic meaning of ta'uzzuhum azza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such, those people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are obstinate, they are stubborn, they are not going to change now. Their hearts have become sealed. And despite the warnings of the Nabi, despite the ayats of Quran being recited to them, they are not prepared to listen. Their hearts have become covered. They are clogged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we give these people respite. We let them enjoy the bounties of dunya, whatever they're enjoying. But shaitan has actually got them around his finger and he's spinning them around his finger. And shaitan provokes them more and he incites them more to commit more mischief in the earth. And to commit more vice and evil and to disobey Allah more. So these people continue this wretched and miserable life in this manner. Rasulullah sees these people and obviously he is trying desperately for them to accept Iman. They are refusing. They're causing him pain. They're causing his Sahaba pain, torture. You know, we mentioned about Bilal radiallahu anhu, with him was Ammar bin Yasir. With them was Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, the first martyr of Islam. In what a terrible manner she was killed. You think Rasulullah was able to endure that very easily? The Sumayya was, her leg, one right leg was tied to one camel, the left leg to another camel. Both were made to move and run in opposite directions. On top of that, the enemy takes a spear and pierces the most private part of her body. Rasulullah is in pain. He's wishing that perhaps, if these people are not going to accept Iman, then Allah's punishment, why isn't it coming? Why isn't Allah's punishment coming? Allah says, فَلَا تَعْجَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be hasty against them. Why? إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا We are counting their days for them. They've got a specific number of days. From the time they were born, Allah had already decreed their lifespan. And even though they are disobedient to me, Allah says their days are numbered. And soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab will come or mort will come. And then you will see in the akhirat what type of punishment they will have to endure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them respite. Allah has given them a free rein to commit sin. Allah gives them the rope. And when suddenly Allah ta'ala seizes them, then they're caught unaware. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَفْدًا But the believers, we will gather them. Allah says the muttaqeen, we will gather them إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفْدًا وَفْدًا A delegation. Or as guests to Allah. And they will be entertained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the disbelievers, وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ وِرْدًا The disbelievers will be driven. They will be pulled. They will be dragged towards Jahannam. Wirda. In the condition that they will be extremely thirsty. They will be complaining of thirst. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ الشَّفَاعَةَ إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ عَهْدًا No person will be able to intercede on behalf of any person on the day of Qiyamah except that person whom Allah gives him that promise. Oh, Allah has granted him that permission and promise. And Allah will give him the privilege like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all other anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, like ulama, like a hafiz of the Quran with 10 people of his family who will be doomed and destined for Jahannam. A hafiz of the Quran will then be given the opportunity to seek shafaat and intercession on behalf of those 10 people upon whom Jahannam was wajib. He'd be said, take out those 10 family members out of Jahannam. So these people will be given permission by Allah. Otherwise, no person will be even be able to say one word. Everybody's gaze will be cast down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these disbelievers. What was the accusation they used to make against Allah? وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا They say, Allah has begotten a child. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ Yahud would say, عُزَيْر عليه الصلاة والسلام is the son of Allah. وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ Christian would say, Isa عليه الصلاة والسلام is the son of Allah. Allah says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا You have said a very horrible statement. A very repulsive statement. A very terrible statement. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا Such a statement, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا These words are very, very powerful. تَقَادُ السَّمَاوَاتِ It is almost that the skies will cleave asunder, they'll split open. يَتَفَتَّرْنَ مِنْهِ Because of this blasphemous statement that these people sing. Imagine they sing, Allah has got a child, a son. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ The earth will split open. وَتَخِرُ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا The mountains will come down, crumbling. And دَعُوا لِرُحْمَانِ وَلَدَا Allah is saying that these people have the audacity, the courage to claim that Allah, who is Rahman, full of mercy, who looks after them, provides for them. Believer and the disbeliever, Allah provides for every person. Despite His rahmat, Allah uses this quality, Rahman. I'm so merciful, so compassionate. Yet they claim that I've got walada, a child. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. It does not behove Allah, Rahman, to have a child. Allah then talks about Qiyamah again. إِنْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَوْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَانِ عَبَدًا. Every single thing in the skies, the earth, every single person will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a slave. So every person is an abd of Allah. What does abd teach us? Humility. At-tadallul. We are the bondsmen, bondswomen. We are the slaves, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all in the servitude of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He is the master. And therefore we should submit, surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukam, Allah's laws. Perhaps in the dunya person was a tyrant. He was arrogant. On the day of Qiyamah, there's no arrogance, there's no pride. Allah will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Who does everything belong to today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَحَّارِ. Fir'aun and party, Qarun, Haman, Shaddad, every person, every tyrant ruler will come as an abd before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا وَكُلْهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ. Allah has taken note of them. Allah has recorded them. وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. And Allah has counted each one of them. Nobody can escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Allah knows exactly how many makhluk He has. Each one will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Farda. All alone. Each one before Allah. All alone. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Those who have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who do righteous deeds. Allah will make, Rahman will make for them love that Allah will place in the heart of the people for them. These people who have iman in amal saliha, those who are pious people, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will put natural muhabbat in the heart of the makhluk for such people. Now to explain this ayat, a hadith of Rasulullah is mentioned and we have heard this numerous occasions. Allah announces to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, Inni uhibbu fulana. Allah says, Oh Jibreel, I love that certain banda of mine in the world. Fa'ahibbah, you must love him. And go to the angels in the sky and announce and declare that Allah loves this person. They too must love him. Jibreel goes to the sky, Ya Ahla Sama, Allah loves that banda, you must also love him. Fa'ahibbu. So the angels also begin to love that person. It doesn't stop there. It does not end there. Then Allah places love in the hearts of the people for that person. They automatically become attracted towards him. They want to sit by him. They want to learn from him. They want to be in his company. And ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Acceptance, قَبُولِيَّةِ is now given to this person. He now becomes a maqbool banda of Allah subhanahu. How many people we have seen? Maqbool bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many waliyas of Allah we have seen? From far and wide people coming to them. How Allah place love in their hearts. We cannot help but mentioning Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's example. That from people from China, Japan, America, Brazil. There is one brother from Brazil who had embraced Islam on the hands of Hazrat Marana through the, another brother had, mashallah, encouraged him. And you must see the words, he regards himself, right till this very day, as the student of Hazrat Marana Yunus Patel. And the life he had led prior to accepting Islam, and he had just heard a little bit of Marana. And how he was attracted. After Marana had passed away, for 2 weeks, he refused to talk to any person, even this close friend of his. He refused to talk to him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places such maqbooliyat. And on the contrary, if Allah despises any person, this is what we must be cautious of, and Allah protect us from this. If Allah hates any person, Allah tells Jibreel, I hate that person. Go announce to the people of the sky, the angels, they must also hate him. The people in the world also begin to hate that person. Nobody wants to be in his company. Nobody talks good about him. Nobody praises him. They want to stay far away from him. Allah does not keep maqbooliyat for him. There's no acceptance. But There is only humiliation for such a person. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Hassan Basri rahmatullah mentioned more detail in Ibn Kathir, in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to the righteous servants, his friends, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them, etc. May Allah Ta'ala make us from his mahbubin, maqbuleen. What is the condition? Iman and amal saliha. Of course, when you do wrong, tawbah, istighfar. The last two verses, and we terminate the surah. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ Allah says, we made this Qur'an easy. بِلِسَانِكَ It is in your tongue, your language, the Arabic language. Why? لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ Through this Qur'an, you must give glad tidings to the righteous one. Glad tidings of what? Of paradise, of bliss, happiness, the pleasure of Allah, the rivers of Jannah, the bounties of Jannah. وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّ And you must warn through the Qur'an that nation, that group of people who dispute violently. Ludda, they just want to dispute. They're not prepared to give a hearing. Every time you talk about deen, they want to start a debate. They want to argue with you. They want to score a point against you. They're not prepared to submit and surrender. Allah says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ How many nations before them we had destroyed? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزَ Beautiful surah. You see the ending, the rhyming. In Arabic we say this is saja. This is the eloquence of the Qur'an, the balagh of the Qur'an, proving to mankind that this was not the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, how many people we destroyed before them? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ Do you perceive? هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ From any one of them, any sound? Those who we ruined and destroyed? أَوْ تَسْمَعُوا لَهُمْ رِكْزًا Can you even just hear a whisper coming out from those dead people? Never. Allah says, what Allah is explaining here, that when we destroy those who reject us, then we destroy them completely. They are completely annihilated. You won't even hear a murmur or a whisper when you go past. Everything is dead. Allah is so powerful, Allah is so mighty, Allah has blessed us with the Qur'an and Majeed. Allah has given us this opportunity to learn what Allah is talking about in His Qur'an, what Allah is addressing us with. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to bring these ayat in our life. We have to read this again and again and ponder over the meaning after we have discussed it now. When we read these verses and look at the translation, you will see a different understanding and how a person would then realize that khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will stand before Allah ta'ala all alone, and therefore it will spur him on, encourage him to prepare for the akhirat. May Allah ta'ala bless us and give us guidance and hidayat and give us true knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and our family members and our children, give us protection, afiyat, salamati, hifazat. Allah give all the sick and ailing people complete shifa. There are so many. We cannot mention all the people's name, but from this masjid and surrounding areas and throughout the country and the world, young, small children, adults, different operations, some little child also was in hospital for so long. Everybody is worried in the family. We make dua. Allah give them complete shifa, kamil, ajil, mustaqir, daim, wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.